Genesis chapter 22. Now, this is, and we're going to start, I believe, with verse number 6. And a very familiar story. So stand with me if you're able to stand. And let me read the Word of God. Now, if you will listen fast, I will preach fast. You listen slow, I'll have to slow down for you. So listen fast. Look at verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand. They had a leather pouch they carried that put ashes in the leather pouch. And then they put hot coals in the midst of that. And that's how they carried the fire, how he carried the fire in his hand. And a knife. They went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, Isaac, we think, was around 12, 13, or 14 years of age at this time. My father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Did I read that right? God will provide himself as a lamb. No, just a lamb. He did provide himself as a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Father, help us to understand your word tonight. May it become clear, Father, to every believer that's assembled here. Lord, bridge that gap between our ear and our soul. And may this word of God lay in our soul and comfort us when we need comfort and help us when we need help. May we hide it in our hearts, Lord, that we wouldn't sin against you. Lord, meet the need in every person. And Lord, if there's anyone in here who's never surrendered to you, may this be the night. God, my words, Father, that that could happen. Lord, heal the sick is my prayer also, Lord. You're able, Lord, to touch our bodies. Meet the need in this service. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may have a seat. And if you're sitting near a loved one or a friend, turn to them and say, I love you. There are some parallels between Isaac and the Lord Jesus in the Bible. They've both had miraculous births. Abraham and Sarah were beyond childbearing age, but God gave them the ability to have a child. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, the only one ever found in the entire world. They both asked questions as teenagers. Jesus got over in the temple and started asking questions, a lot of questions. And here we find that Isaac, as a teenager, asked. And so teenagers, I say to you, feel free to ask questions. Feel free to ask questions. If your daddy can't answer it, I bet your mama can. So ask questions. Amen. Let's be good. They both had loving fathers. Abraham loved his son Isaac. He loved him. And the Lord Jesus Christ was loved by God the Father. You'll find they both carried the wood for the sacrifice. Isaac, upon his back was laid the wood from Abraham. And the Roman soldiers laid the vertical, the horizontal piece of wood for his sacrifice on Calvary. They both were obedient to the Father. Jesus laid down his life. And in obedience to God, we find there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Isaac was strong enough, big enough, much younger than his father was. He could have resisted, but he believed his father, amen, to what the words he said. Both laid down their lives, amen. No one took the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid it down. It wasn't the Roman soldiers who did it. And both were not seen until they meet their bride again. If you look at verse number 12 in chapter 22, is the last mention of Isaac. Now, if you look at verse 23, and Bethuel beget Rebekah, guess who that is? That's the future bride of Isaac. There she is. She is born in between the time of the sacrifice. The next time you see, amen, Isaac, you have to go over, I think, to chapter 24 and verse 62, and you'll find him. And here is Rebekah in 61, arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man Eleazar, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And here in verse 62 is the first mention of Isaac after the Mount Moriah incident where he was going to be sacrificed. What was it? He was hidden all that time. I'm going to tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ was hidden. Amen. But he's coming back. Look what happened in verse 62. He came from the way of the well, Lahore, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. You know what? He saw her in the air. Does that say something to us? That next time the Lord Jesus Christ sees his bride, we're going to meet him in the air. What a glorious thought that is. But Isaac asked an age-old question. Where is the lamb? And he wanted to know. He knew it took a lamb, a sacrifice. Where is the lamb? Many questions are in the Bible. And it's interesting to study questions in the Bible. But here is probably the most important question of all the Bible. Where is the lamb? Can I take you back to the Garden of Eden? And there Adam and Eve are expelled, taken out. They have children, Cain, then Abel. And during that time, God shows Adam how to prepare a sacrifice to take care of his sin and the sin of Eve. You know, that's strange about Adam, isn't it? He fell asleep one time, woke up, and he had surgery and had a wife. Be careful how you sleep, man. And so they had children. But God had showed Adam how to make a sacrifice. You take a lamb. And I believe the coats, the garments that Adam and Eve wore were made of the sheep that were closest to Eve. Because you know what? Sin robs us of the most precious things we have. Sin takes away from us. And I believe they saw God Almighty. I don't know what he used. He could have used his word, but he might have used his finger or he had a knife. And he killed those sheep to make coats for them, Pastor. And he took the blood. And he says, here's how you make an offering to cover for your sin. And by the way, Adam, you need to do this at least once a year, probably, he said. And God took those sheep and laid it in his lap, cut their throat, caught the blood, skinned them. Ladies, wouldn't you love to have had a garment made by God? Wow, what a... I've met some tailors in my life, men who could sew and take your measurements and all that thing and make you a perfect fitting suit. But my goodness, can you imagine God making a coat for Adam and Eve? I mean, it must have been spectacular. Must have been. But when they had children then, Cain and Abel, God told Adam, now you tell this to your boys and your daughters. They got to have a lamb. And I can see Adam and Eve, Adam gathered Cain and Abel together. Come here, boys. We're going to make a sacrifice. Go out there to the pasture in the flock of the sheep and find one without blemish. Yeah. Find one that's innocent. Yeah. I don't want you to bring a blind one. I don't want you to bring a crippled one. Bring the best one you can find and bring it to me. And I believe they went out. Adam is waiting and waiting. Hey, where is the lamb? Cain, where is the lamb? Abel, where is the lamb? And finally Cain and Abel come with one. And Adam might have said, what's wrong with y'all? Why didn't you bring one quicker? Abel spoke up probably and said, well, Cain wanted to bring one that had a broke leg. And he wanted to bring the other one that had a blind eye. And he said, why should we waste a good lamb? And Adam looked at both of them and said, listen, God said it's to be without spot, without blemish, and it's to be innocent, lamb was an innocent animal. And I believe there, Adam made a sacrifice and showed Cain and Abel how to make a sacrifice for their family. And by the way, the coats they put on were a covering, an atonement. An atonement for their sins. And probably when they took them off, there were little spots of blood all over their body from that skin of those animals. Where is the lamb? There is a sacrifice for a family there. And I see also an old preacher. He's preached and preached and preached. And God says, come in the ark. Yeah, and he and his family go in the ark. And those, as they get in the ark, here come the animals, two by two. Yeah. And I wish you'd left out the mosquito or the fly, either one. I'm with me, but they got on somehow. And I think Spurgeon said the snail had to come the same way the giraffe did. It's only one door. And they came in. And God sent the rain. God flooded the place. But when they got off the ark, I can see Noah getting off the ark. By the way, it landed in the mountain of Ararat. There's a plural there. And there, because the door was on the second floor, it landed down in a little ravine so that when they opened the door, it was right level. That's what I think. I'm using my imagination the best I can. Amen. And I can see Noah getting off the boat and looking around a new world. Everybody else is dead. All the animals are dead. And what we have on board the ark are small animals. The seed is within those animals. By the way, there's a common barnyard animal that wasn't on the ark. How could that be possible? A common barnyard animal not on the ark? It was the mule. The mule is a hybrid between the donkey and the horse. No need having a hybrid on there. They can't have children anyway. So you didn't have a mule on board the ark. I see some of y'all with a puzzled face. Y'all need to come talk to a country boy. You'll know something. Amen. And I can see Noah when he gets off the ark and looks. And he's brought some wood down with him. They didn't just take two of every kind. They took seven of the clean beast. Why? I can see him down at the bottom of the ark hollering up to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Hey, boys! Boys! Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? And I can see them boys bringing those innocent lambs down that ramp and bring it over, and Noah makes a sacrifice. That demand was passed from family to family to family down. Moses, you know, Moses' early life was really a basket case, wasn't it? I mean, you figure it out. Born in a Jewish family, raised in a Gentile family. That's a basket case for 40 years at least. And but God sent him back. And he had an urge to go back to be with his people and to help them. And you know, when he first saw that burning bush, he got, what is going on? And closer he got, God said, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. And he went back. He got in Egypt. I mean, you know what he said? Here am I, Lord, send Aaron. That's about what he said. He said, I can't talk before Pharaoh, Lord. All right, I'll send Aaron with you. But when they got in front of Pharaoh, guess who did most of the talking? It was old Moses. God's able to overcome your inabilities to do what you think you ought to do for God, and he'll help you do it. And God then, after several plagues, God said to Moses, look, Moses, we got one last test for Pharaoh, and he's going to let you go. I want you to get every family to get a lamb. And I want you to sacrifice it. I want you to take a hyssop, which has got a flowering head on it. Dip it in that basin that you've caught the blood. Put it up on the top, the lintel, and put it on the sides. Somebody getting a picture? Looked like a cross, didn't it? On every door it looked like a cross. The blood. And if I see the blood, God said, I'll pass over you. But if I don't see the blood, firstborn in your family is going to die. And boy, I can hear an echo all the way through Egypt. Where is the lamb? Son, where is the lamb? Son, where is the lamb? There was an echo in every family across there to bring a lamb that could be sacrificed and the blood put on the threshold. So here was a blood. With Adam and Eve, it was a blood for a family. But now here's a blood for a nation. And that God has given His Son to die to give His blood for you and I. Moses, the Passover lamb. Well, when Moses got him in the wilderness and they sacrificed, but God said, I want you to set up something here, Moses. I'm going to give you a tabernacle to build, a church. But what I want you to do, every morning, bring a lamb and sacrifice it. And every evening, bring a lamb and sacrifice it. It's going to be the morning and the evening sacrifice. You bring it, and I'm going to tell Aaron, his boys, how to do this. And it was probably the very same way he told Adam in the beginning. You take that lamb, you catch its blood, you take that blood and you sprinkle the altar. And then you place that sacrifice upon the altar and burn it. You make it an offering. And every morning, I can hear early in the morning, I can hear that priest cry out, where is the lamb? And brother, they brought the lamb to that altar to be sacrificed. I can hear every evening when the sun is about to go down on the tallest mountain peak, when you can't see it anymore, starts a new day, I can hear the cry of that priest that hollers out, where is the lamb? There's a cry goes out. I mean, for hundreds of years, every day. And when Solomon got all the material from his dad, David, to build the kingdom, Solomon sacrificed 120,000 lambs on that day. I believe the brook Kidron ran red with the blood that had been given to sacrifice and dedicate that temple. We have a lamb for two in the garden, near the Garden of Eden. We got a lamb for a family coming off the ark. We've got a lamb for a nation there in Egypt. And now we see a daily lamb given and his blood given. Once a year though, there was a special day. There they would have the atonement lamb. And they'd bring that lamb before the priest, and then make a sacrifice for the nation of Israel. And the priest would say over it, the sins of the people, every day, that once a year that happened. Oh, listen, there's a message in the Old Testament. There's a message in the Old Testament. And it echoes down from Genesis all the way to Malachi. Where is the lamb? Step over to the side and say this. When a snake, a rattlesnake, you got any rattlesnakes here? I was just checking to see what that box was back there. Wasn't sure. Should have brought my rubber snake. I would see who's faithful or not. But here's how the medical people take care of poisonous snake bites. Some of you already know this, but here's a little medical education. Holly, we learned about the blood last night, didn't we? Where it came from. Isn't that interesting? So they'll take, when they have a rattlesnake roundup, they'll take those snakes live. They'll take them to the medical institute, and the medical personnel there will milk them. they'll hold them their head. They'll put it in a jar. They'll put it near a jar with like a rubber covering, and they'll stick his fangs down in it, and he'll start exuding all that poison. They then will take that, and they have sheep that they have for this purpose. They will suck that out with a needle, and they'll inject that sheep with that rattlesnake poison. And what the sheep will do, the sheep will develop antibodies that fights. You can't kill a sheep with a rattlesnake bite. And the sheep will build antibodies. They will then draw blood out of the sheep, refine it a little bit, and it will be the anti-venom that they can inject in you or me if we get bitten by a rattlesnake. But here's the problem sometimes. The sheep they have, sometimes when they pull the blood and they need so much, they pull more blood out than they should, the sheep dies. The old serpent has bitten this world. There's a poison. And if you don't get rid of that poison, if you don't go to the great physician, get the antibodies, you're going to die. You're going to die and go to hell. How tragic that is for somebody to hear the gospel and die without Christ. Where is the Lamb from Adam to Noah to Moses to the tabernacle to the temple all the way up to Malachi's day? Where is the Lamb? That 400-year period when the Maccabees were fighting the Romans and the Syrians and trying to get control of their country during that time. Where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb? The whole Old Testament is centered around this one question. Where is the Lamb? You go to the New Testament, we find an interesting story of a person who is proclaimed to be King of the Jews. Where is he that has been born King of the Jews, the wise men said? When you go to Mark, you find there's a man born who's a servant. He is serving people. You go to Luke, you find a man, and his genealogy is even given, born in Bethlehem, born in a stable, where really a sheep ought to be born. A little lamb ought to be born. But here he is, the Son of Man in Luke. And that question is asked from every generation upon this earth. Where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb? But when you go to John's Gospel, there's a preacher there. You know what? He's not dressed like most ministerial students. But you know what? The ladies go down to the River Jordan to wash their clothes. They take a little bit of lard. They take their dirty clothes. They take it in a basket. They find a round rock. They soak them first. Then they'll put them on that rock, and they'll rub some of that soap on it. And then they'll get another rock if that husband made a bad stain on some clothing. And they'll beat it a little bit. They'll scrub it. They'll rinse it in there. And they hear a voice way off. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And they hear that voice getting closer, Pastor. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he gets closer. And here comes a man out of the bulrushes saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You need to make the way straight. Clear out everything in your life. Repent of your sin while you have time, because he is coming. And those women, they're not used to anybody preaching with such authority. They wrap up their clothes and get in their baskets probably and leave and go home, hang them out in the sun. They had solar-powered clothes dryers in those days, by the way. Hang them out. And you know what? Their husband comes home work what's wrong, dear? Something wrong. Why are you so quiet? What's going on today? Honey, I went down to wash the clothes. And there was a man came out of the bulrushes, and he stood on the bank of Jordan, and he told me my sins. Honey, we're going to have to get right with God. We're going to have to get right with God. There's something came over me that told me I was wrong, that I wasn't right with God. When that man with that camel clothing stood there and preached with authority, I knew I was wrong with God. And she probably put her head over on the table and wept and cried a little bit. He said, "Well, go make a sacrifice tomorrow. We'll go to the priest. We'll go." And then that night, he started thinking about his sins. Well, they were worried about, some of the women were worried about going out. I'm making all this up. Are you with me? You're getting the idea. I'm weaving enough truth in there so you can make up your own story and tell your children. So they came back the next day. And that man, they heard his voice coming. "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye." It got louder, like a voice crying in the wilderness. He came out there and he started, and some of the people there started saying, I took a sacrifice yesterday to the temple, and that lamb gave its life for my sins. And thank you, preacher. What's your name? John. What's your middle name? The. Just like Mickey. What's your last name? Baptist. The book of Luke, he's called John Baptist simply. The is left out. John says, you need to be baptized under repentance. Bring your fruit that you're trying to do right, and I'll baptize you. And boy, they start a baptismal service. Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod? But one day he came out there, preached his message, and it was a crowd this time. Those that had already gotten right with God, and some of those that they brought with them who needed to be right with God. Won't you come hear this man? And suddenly over the hill came a man with three or four disciples. And old John in chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Pointed his finger and he said three important words. The Old Testament said, "Where is the Lamb?" And John the Baptist stepped forward and said, "Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold the one that will die for your sins. Behold the one who loves you and came from glory down to this old world and endured the sin and sorrow and died in your place for your sin. Behold the Lamb." Well, that's the message of the New Testament. You know what the New Testament is about? You want to condense it down as much as you can? Behold the Lamb. You know what the Old Testament's about? Where is the Lamb? You can tell somebody you know what the entire Bible is about in seven words. Old Testament is all about where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb? And you start off with the Gospels and he said, "Behold the Lamb." Behold him. Why, yes, that's the New Testament. John chapter 5, verse 39. "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you'll find everlasting life. But they are they which testify of me." And Jesus proclaimed himself as the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb in Psalms 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Behold the Lamb in Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? Behold the Lamb hanging on the cross with seven sayings. And then when he departed and released his spirit and soul, then that Roman soldier said, surely this was the Son of God. Behold the Lamb over in Revelation chapter 5. Behold him there. John is weeping because no man was found worthy to open the seven sealed book. And he wept and he cried because if somebody doesn't open it, mankind is doomed to live in sin forever. But thank God the messenger with him said, John, weep not. Turn and look. There is the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath overcome. And John said, when I turned and looked, it was a lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the earth. Choir singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God he gave his life, the Savior of the world. Went into that country of Albania. I think Dean was on that trip. And we were with a missionary there in Tirana, the capital city. Brother Mickey Johnson, a member of our church, a missionary who'd been in Germany and been in most communist countries, even when they're somewhere behind the Iron Curtain. He'd crossed the border with Bibles, carried Bibles into East Germany when the communists were in control. He said, I'd put them in my trunk, cover them over, and cover them over with a bunch of more or less, not quilts, but some kind of covering like that. And tell the guards, I'm giving what's in the trunk back there to the people of East Germany. I'm a preacher, a missionary, and he'd have blankets and quilts and things and Bibles. He said never once was he stopped and arrested or turned back at the border, but he'd go down to a he'd have a contact of a first underground church, and he'd go to it. And when he went to it, they'd have a service in the cellar or the basement at night, usually, if the light's practically off. And then they'd tell him to go to the next church. You continue the way you're going, and then you're going to come. On one side of the road is a great big oak tree, and the other side is a rundown barn. Take a right past that. And the first big oak tree and the first rundown barn, he'd take a right. And he'd go up to the door, and he'd knock on the door of the next farmhouse he was told about, and he'd say, do you know Jeremiah? Does Jeremiah live here? And that was a code word for all of them. And when they said the word Jeremiah, they meant Jeremiah of the Bible. And they'd let him in. And he said one of the groups told him one time they were having, Mickey wasn't there at that time, they have an underground service. And said, two soldiers knocked on the door. And when the owner answered the door, everybody was afraid. Pointed the weapon at him and said, stand aside. They came inside, all the believers. And he said, all right, anybody who's not a true believer of Jesus Christ, you can leave now. And said, sure enough, there's a few people went to the door and went out. When they went out, one of the soldiers went over and shut the door and latched it. Then they brought their weapons and laid them on the table and said, we are believers also, but we cannot afford to worship with hypocrites. And they worshiped. But we were in Albania, and we were with this missionary, and the missionary told us this unusual story. Said he was on guard duty, across the ocean was Italy, and his job was to walk up and down the shores, and if anything floated in from the free world, he was to take it, turn it in to his commander, who was to burn it or destroy it, and that was his job. But one day, while walking patrol by himself, he found a bottle with a gospel tract in the Albanian language in it. He said, I looked around to see if my commander could see me. I grabbed the bottle. I shook the tract out. And he said, I read it. When I read it, it stuck my heart. It talked about somebody who had come to earth and died for them. His name was Jesus. He said, I took the bottle and I turned it in, but I took that tract and put it in my coat and I hid it. I went back to the barracks that evening after my tour with my duty on the shore was over, and I took it and I hid it inside my pillow. And said at night, I'd get a, he called it a torch, but we called it a flashlight. That was the English word for flashlight, torch. He said, I got a flashlight, and I'd pull that track out, and I'd read it. And I wonder, who is this man? Who is this man? Who would come to earth from heaven and die for me? Who is this man? And said the country got liberated. He kept that track. He didn't even dare share it with his wife. For his wife, if she could have turned him in to the communist officials, he'd have been killed. Killed. They'd have taken him out and shot him. He said, I hid that in my heart and I hid that track. And said this missionary, Nathan Graves, I think, he had this big long Volvo he had bought and had some interpreters with him. And he kept looking at the map of Albania, and there was a certain little town. He could not get that town off his mind. And he said one day to his interpreter, said, we're going to travel. I don't know what's there, but there's something there in that little village. And they got in a big old automobile. They went down the roads and got there to that town. And when they pulled up, the interpreter got up and said, we've got a man from God that's going to tell you how to go to heaven one day. And word spread through that little village. And he got to that man's house. He jumped up. He ran and fell down at the missionary's feet and said, what must I do to be saved? He knew he needed to get saved. He knew there was a need in his life. He knew that somebody had died for him but didn't know who. And he was trying to find out, who is this Jesus? I'll tell you who he is. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I said this the other night, we're not redeemed as corruptible things as silver and gold because they came out of the earth and they have a curse on them. You can get all the gold and all the silver in all the world and pile it up, but it's still got a curse on it. But there's one thing that came from heaven, and that was the blood of Christ, amen, who died on a cross for your sins. You can describe the Bible in 7 words. Old Testament, a little longer than the New Testament. So it's got 4 words. Where is the Lamb? The New Testament is all about Him. Behold the Lamb, Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. I'll close. Is the Lamb in your life? Is the Lamb in your life? Where is the Lamb shows the sinful nature of mankind. That man needed someone to die for him. There's only one thing that could pay the sin was the blood of Christ that came from the Father, that came from heaven. It had no corruption in it. Whereas the Lamb shows us that man's life without Christ is incomplete. If you're not saved, you're living an incomplete life. So incomplete. But where is the Lamb answers the question, behold the Lamb. There is a solution to your problems. You say, my problem is this. No, your problem is you're not saved. Well, my problem is this, preacher. No, that's not your problem. Your problem is you're not saved. You need to be saved. Let's ask our brother come and play or sing or whatever we got to organize. I want you to stand with me, every head bowed, just a moment. I won't labor you. How many here tonight? could raise their hand and say, Brother Randy, I know I'm saved because I admitted I was a sinner one time. I believed on Jesus and I called upon him. Could you raise your hand and put it right back down? Raise it, put it right back down. I wonder if somebody here would like to get saved. If you couldn't raise your hand, at least you were honest with yourself. How simple is it? Just walk down here. Walk down here and pray. What do I say, preacher? Just say, God, please save me. Please forgive me. It's that simple. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as I am, without one plea. Won't you come? Step out right now. Looking this way. Won't you come? Won't you come? Oh, where is the Lamb in your life? He can be in your life, Pastor. You come. Continue.